This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. If you've been listening to me or following me on Facebook or Instagram, you may know a little bit of my story. And just in case you haven't, I'm going to tell you. A few years ago, for spiritual reasons, what I like to call spiritual reasons, I embraced a vegan lifestyle. 6 months into that embracing of that vegan lifestyle, I had an experience that landed me at the hospital. And after running tests and spending the night and all of that good, not so groovy stuff, it was determined that I had blockage in my main artery, 50% blockage in my main artery, 25% in another artery. And I was floored because I always thought that I ate fairly healthy. My physician, of course, immediately wanted to put me on medication. I asked him if he could go back and look at my numbers and see if anything's changed from a year ago. Well, lo and behold, my numbers had decreased drastically. My cholesterol changed, my blood pressure was perfect, blah, blah, blah. So he agreed with me that we would monitor my lifestyle for a year. Well, at my one-year checkup, same thing. Numbers either became way better or maintained themselves. So today, 3 years later, I'm still not on any medication. Now, not that I am saying that that's what's going to happen to everybody when they embrace a plant-based lifestyle. However, I think that when you listen to my guest today, Dr. Pankaj Vij, you will find that even the slightest change is possible, and it's up to us to take control of our health. I know that it has enhanced my life on every level. My meditation is like off the chart. My journeys are off the chart. My communication with my patients and the way that I feel is off the chart. To me, that's the most important thing. And hopefully I'll be around a little bit longer for my kids and grandchildren. So with that said, I am bringing on Dr. Pankaj Vij, author of Turbo Metabolism. He is a doctor of internal medicine and has literally helped thousands of patients lose weight, manage chronic health conditions, and improve their physical fitness. So welcome to Soulful Living, Dr. Vij.
Thank you, Terry. It's a pleasure to be on the show. I'm so excited. I mean, I think we're going to have a wonderful conversation. And oh my God, your story is so inspiring. And that's the story of many, many people. So I hope that you and I can help spread this message to thousands and thousands of more people that can improve their lives.
Well, what I really loved about Turbo Metabolism is that you really touch on really preventing and reversing so many different diseases. And I think prevention is the key. And you offer it in a format that I think anybody can understand.
Thank you. Yeah, the goal was to take a whole bunch of complicated things. And, you know, doctors like to learn to use fancy long words. And sometimes we overcomplicate things than what they need to be. And so my goal was to take all that information and really sift out the nuggets of gold, sift out the truth, and then present it in a way that people can really understand and relate to. And that's how I like to communicate. And I think that's the only way to really get someone to change what they're doing is to really explain it to them in their terms and give really practical, sound advice of things that they can put into action right away.
Well, and the book focuses on primarily metabolic syndrome and what the disease does or causes to the system. What is metabolic syndrome for people that aren't familiar with it?
Yeah, so before we get into that, we should take a step back and really think about what is metabolism, right?
Absolutely.
Metabolism is essentially the flow of energy. So life is all about metabolism. Anything that's living has metabolism. Something that's dead does not have metabolism. So metabolism is the flow of life energy through a living thing. And metabolic syndrome is actually a medical term that's used to describe a condition where that flow of energy is impaired. On a physical level, you can look at symptoms. You can look at someone and say, okay, this person probably has metabolic syndrome. If they have, you know, if their belly is sticking out, if their waist circumference is more than a certain number, or their cholesterol is more than a certain number, or their blood pressure is high, or their blood glucose, if you did a blood test, was high. They have low levels on the good cholesterol, the HDL, high levels on one of the bad cholesterols, the triglycerides. Those would all be symptoms of someone having metabolic syndrome. But you can eyeball somebody walking down the street or walking in the mall and you know, tell who has metabolic syndrome. And then if you sat down and talked to them, they would say, oh, yes, you know, I don't have good energy. I feel tired. I feel sluggish. You know, I feel foggy headed. I don't have the energy to do the things that I would like to do or that I used to be able to do. So really, to me, you know, we talk about all these diseases, but it's all part of the same spectrum. So a syndrome is a cluster of diseases, right? Mm-hmm, the metabolic mm-hmm. syndrome encompasses then all the diseases of civilization that we are grappling with that make up the whole healthcare crisis, and why we spend so much money in hospitals is all about heart disease and strokes and cancers and high blood pressure and even Alzheimer's dementia, which is the coming epidemic. Is they're all manifestations of an impaired metabolism. So if we can fix that metabolism, you've got good energy flow, you've got a good quality of life that is disease-free, full of energy and beautiful experiences and travel and having fun and really feeling, it's all about having more life in your years.
Well, and it goes back to being preventable and or reversible. So people that are already at those stages where maybe they have those love handles or they're experiencing some types of symptoms of the disease, this work provides an opportunity for them to reverse it and really make some significant changes in their lives, but they can be easy changes.
Indeed. And you talked about it yourself in your journey, Terry.
Yes.
You're just making those changes in your lifestyle. Maybe probably was a little challenging at first. But
absolutely.
Once you start doing it and you feel so good and you actually feel the change quite rapidly. There's some things that you'll notice even within the first few weeks. You know, you have a little bit more energy. You might be sleeping a little bit better. Therefore, you wake up in the morning energized, ready to bounce out of bed. You know, you might not feel as bloated. Your thinking is a little more clear. You don't want to take a nap after, you know, every time you eat. And those are the little changes that say, aha, something is right. You know what? All my spark plugs are really starting to fire. I'm not at 100%, but I can feel that change. And, you know, you don't realize how bad you were feeling until you start feeling better. And then, you know, when the pain is gone, you say, oh, my God, I feel like all of a sudden somebody took these chains off of my ankles and I can actually start running and jumping and bouncing and having the energy that I deserve. But it's that step is the hardest.
Yeah, and that truly was my story. You know, in the first couple of weeks, the first couple of months, I don't want to say I was depressed, but I think I kind of went through shock at figuring out how to eat. What am I going to eat? How am I going to live? What am I going to do? All of that. And at the same token, as I continued to learn how to incorporate new foods into my diet, how to cook, because I was I'm an awesome cook, that it became easier and easier. And I noticed those simple changes in my body. Fast forward a year and a half, and my husband lost 65 pounds because he embraced it with me. And
wow.
I lost 30. And I didn't even really realize that I needed to lose that weight. You know, I look at myself now and I'm sure that you would have seen me and said, oh yeah, she has metabolic syndrome. She's a prime candidate for it. So I look at my life as the perfect example of what can happen when you follow the turbo metabolism lifestyle.
This is so true, and I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, we're living in this essentially obesogenic or this sickening environment, right? It's the environment that's been created for us, and we are duped into believing that that's the norm. You look around and all you see is fast food joints and people with their bellies sticking out and you know, bottles of beer or soda in their hand, and that's considered the norm. But that's not the norm. We've created an almost like a virtual reality of, you know, how life should be. And it's only when you take a break from it and, you know, do something different is when you realize how good your life truly can be.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you talk about in the book, you talk about a quote. One of the quotes that really stuck out to me was, when you change your mindset, you can develop the motivation and ability to change your destiny. And what I really found for me personally was changing my mindset. And I believe what I said at the beginning of my show is that because of that, I am going to hopefully live longer and be able to embrace my grandchildren, who knows, maybe even my great grandchildren, without so much suffering on my body physically.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. And you said it right. It is all about mindset. I think the weight reduction, whether it's 30 pounds or 60 pounds or 100 pounds, that's just a byproduct. And I would go a step further and say that someone who is obese or overweight is just showing a symptom of something else that's going on in their life. And when you peel the layers of the onion, you get down to the core, the root of the issue. It's going to be something in their mindset. It's going to be some sort of emotional trigger or some emotional pain or hurt or trauma from the past that they're carrying that they haven't quite been able to heal and resolve. And so until you get to the core of the problem and really flip that switch at the root cause, which again is at the level of the mind, or we can get a little bit more woo about it and say it's at the level of the spirit. So you fix the mind, what's bothering the mind and the spirit, and the body will just simply follow. The body is just going to follow. It's at the level of the mind where the problem is.
Absolutely. And so much of it is a learned behavior, and you offer such amazing guidance, including recipes, you know, which was one of my struggles was, what am I going to cook now? Because I had been cooking a particular way or had a belief system even around all of that for so long. And it reminded me of a quote. I don't know who said it, but it was learn, unlearn, relearn. And everything that you detail in this book provides the opportunity for people to do that, to take what they've already learned, unlearn it, and relearn a new way that supports them physically, spiritually, and emotionally.
So true. This is so true. And, you know, we learn behaviors when we're really little, right? You start learning things from your environment right from the moment that you're born. And in the first 5 years of life is when a lot of these habits are formed, which is one of the reasons why fast food companies target to young people, right? They give happy meals and they advertise with, you know, all these interesting characters. And like Ronald McDonald, I recently learned, was like one of the top three icons that kids recognize all over the world, right after, I think it was Santa Claus and Mickey Mouse, and then it was Ronald McDonald worldwide for children.
Wow.
And so you're forming those neural circuits, and we like our food to be, you know, tasty for sure, and we eat things that are familiar, and we want it to be convenient. And so a lot of these junk foods, fast foods that are really disguised as food, when in reality they're not even edible, they're certainly hyper palatable, they're very familiar to us, and they're convenient. And so it's made so easy to fall into that trap of something that's going to be right in your face, it tastes good, it feels good, and everybody else is doing it. And so what if it's making us all sick? Well, it's not sustainable. If we keep going the way that we're going, it is just economically not sustainable. It's not sustainable for the human race to continue to flourish if we don't make some changes now.
Well, I remember a conversation I had with my own cardiologist, and he was talking about how his studies had shown him that kids, you know, doing autopsies, which I know is not necessarily the thing that people want to talk about, right? But in doing autopsies on children, the ages of, say, 12 to 16 years old, they were already seeing blockage in the arteries. And so what are foods like McDonald's and all of that doing to our bodies? And at such a young age, it's really important, I think, for you know, people my age with children and grandchildren to change that, to change the whole attitude around fast food and longevity and what you want to put into your bodies.
This is so true. And that's why I think voices like yours and mine need to join forces and combine, because even if when we all combine forces, we're still tiny compared to the multi-billion dollar marketing budget of, you know, McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's that are advertising during the Super Bowl, interspersed with ads, of course, for all the pharmaceuticals that you'll need when you eat that food. So the next ad is going to be for Viagra or Cialis, right?
Right.
During the football game.
But, yeah.
It's that marketing, and it's, you know, that makes money, and it's unfortunately that's what seems to be running the show, is what can make more money and profits and not necessarily your health, which means that getting that right information and acting on it is going to be your and my, our own responsibility. We can't depend on anybody else to do it for us.
So you talk about the five essential ingredients or tools that can reverse disease and or prevent it, right? What would that be? What are they?
Well, I think the first key is food, and we've been talking about food quite a bit, so making the right food choices, and we can call that the forks, right? So mm-hmm. It's the choices that we make with our forks. It would be movement, so move the body like it's designed to be moved, and that would be feet. The third piece would be fingers. What we do with our fingers could be smoking, drinking, taking in other toxins. I would put dairy in that same category too, as endocrine disruptors or hormonal toxins or metabolic toxins. So mm-hmm. feet, forks, and fingers. And then we would talk about sleep. Sleep is huge. I think we're in a national sleep deficit that nobody talks about. Everybody's talking about the money deficit that the government's in, but we're also in a sleep deficit. And mm-hmm. along with that would come in stress and social connections. So how we manage stress and how we connect with one another and support one another can be key ingredients into making health transformations and life transformations too. And when we
Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, when we optimize these master levers, we can have turbo metabolism, we can have our hormones working in perfect harmony, and we can have good energy delivery to propel us forward.
Yeah, I mean, and 100% improving the quality of your life. And isn't that what we want? You know, don't we all want a good quality life? I don't think anybody wants to walk around feeling, let's just say, in that funky lifestyle. You know, nobody really wants to feel that way.
That's true, but they don't know what's causing it, right? So the
right.
first step is going to be to figure out what's causing it, and then to remove it, because you're absolutely right. No amount of money, no amount of, you know, fancy houses and cars and vacations are going to feel good if you don't feel good inside your own body, which is the temple that you live in. So mm-hmm. you know, fix your own house first, and then we can enjoy everything else that's around us.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned sleep. You know, you have a whole chapter dedicated to sleep. I know many times I've talked to my own clients and said sleep deprivation is one of the key factors of our ill health. So how much sleep do we really need? And what do you offer to people that are suffering from insomnia?
Right. I think that's one of the key chapters, too. It's a master lever of health. It's the most neglected. And to answer your question, though, the amount of sleep that we need is pre-programmed and is unique for each and every one of us. It's not something that we can train to get less of or more of. We can't train ourselves to, you know, have a lesser sleep requirement than whatever it is for us. On mm-hmm. average, it is still 7 to 9 hours for the majority of people. For over 90% of people, it's 7 to 9 hours of sleep that we need, even though we might be led to believe that we only need 4 hours or 6 hours. But the reality is that most of us do need that 7 to 9 hours. And we should pause and take a moment and think, okay, we've evolved over hundreds of thousands of years, and we still have this requirement of spending one-third of our lives sleeping, right? 8 hours out of 24 hours, one-third of your time. Mm-hmm. It must be pretty darn important for a lot of different things.
And yeah, you know, I kind of relate it to a battery. You know, I tell, like, for my kids, I used to say, okay, honey, you know that remote control car, and you know how you have to plug it in and let it charge or else it's not going to work. That's what we have to do with our bodies.
This is so true. This is so true. It's your body and your mind, your brain, everything, your metabolism, your pancreas, your liver, even your gut bacteria behave differently. You know, if you're, depending on whether you're getting a good right amount of, not only the right amount, so the good quantity and quality of sleep, both matter. And then what we can do to improve it, are a lot of it are simple behavioral things, and we lump them under, you know, something, a medical term that we use is sleep hygiene, which I think is not a very nice word because hygiene implies that somebody's, you know, dirty or unhygienic. It should really be sleep habits, right? So think about, you should be thinking about getting a good night's sleep from the moment that you wake up in the morning. So you're thinking about spending time outdoors, making sure you get lots of physical activity to, you know, get out. If the sun is up, you want to get out and get that real sunlight so that your body clock knows what is daytime and therefore will know when it's time to go to bed and when it's nighttime. So we're getting in sync with that circadian rhythm, the clock. The sun clock should be in sync with the body clock. And then shutting off devices, so much like you mentioned your kids, you know, we have a bedtime routine for our children. We should really have a bedtime routine for ourselves. So in the 2 or 3 hours before going to bed, we should be really shutting down the systems and dimming the lights and getting away from our screens and getting away from the bright television, LCD, plasma screen, you know, your iPads, your smartphone devices. And avoiding heavy meals, avoiding, you know, alcohol at night, and maybe going for a walk, taking a warm shower, massaging some lavender oil, doing all these, you know, having a nice bedtime ritual can make all the difference in the world. At least it did for me when I started doing those things. I find that I sleep much better and I have an easier time just sort of allowing myself to fall asleep, because you can't make yourself fall asleep. It's something that you have to allow to happen.
I love how you said ritual, and it's inspiring me. It's my mind is already going in the direction of, okay, what can I create in my own life to really enhance my sleep routine? And I love that you called it a ritual, because to me that's like really honoring yourself, you know, in spirit and that whole space of sleep time by saying, okay, I'm going to make it a priority and do these particular things. We do that for our kids, you know, we give them bath time or, you know, reading and story time and all of that. So it totally makes sense that we would honor ourselves enough at that important time to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do now. And definitely turning off all of the electronics. Boy, that's a whole nother show we could do, I'm sure.
Terry, it's all, I mean, all of this is what you just said. It's about honoring yourself, right? It's about loving yourself. It's about being your own best friend. It's about taking care of yourself, about valuing yourself for the unique, amazing, invaluable creation that you are. And when we do that, then we can honor everybody else around us and really have the most positive impact that we are here to have, that we would like to have.
Yeah, that's so true. Okay, well, we're down to the wire here. Listeners, I have been having a conversation with Dr. Pankaj Vij all about his work, Turbo Metabolism. It's really, in fact, the title on the book is 8 Weeks to a New You, Preventing and Reversing Diabetes, Obesity, Heart Disease, and Other Metabolic Diseases by Treating the Causes. I urge you to get the book and really follow the guidance and sit with how it might work for you. Pay attention to those 5 essential lifestyle ingredients of the program. Really listen to my story, because I'm a prime example. I could have been one of his patients. I could have probably been a story in this book about the changes. And So Pankaj, as we kind of close it up here, we've got about a minute left, and I'd love for you to leave the listeners with something that they can take out into the day to empower their lives. Of course, get the book, right? But really to elevate their soul, elevate their vibration. What would that be for you?
Well, I think there's a quote in the book that wraps up that idea really well, and it is that the best day to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best day to plant a tree is today, right?
Mm.
So if you didn't do whatever you think you should have done 20 years ago, that's okay. You know, you're realizing it today, and this is the second best time to do it, because that 20 years ago opportunity is gone, but all that you have in front of you today is this moment, this day. So make the best of it. There is still an infinite amount of good that you can do that will improve your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what condition you're in. There are so many things that you can do to make your life better today. And when you do that, you can trickle that trickle-down effect of that impact. You're going to make ripples on the universe around you and really make everybody else around you a little bit happier and leave the world a little bit better than you found it.
Mm, I love that. Plant a tree today. That is really amazing. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for joining me here. All of Dr. Vija's information is on the Soulful Living page here at Empower Radio. And I think we need to do this again because we didn't even cover a portion of what you have to say about changing your lifestyle. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. I tried to talk as fast as I could, so we hopefully got some good information in there. Thank you, Terry. It's been a pleasure.
It was wonderful.